Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to Pod TST, a weekly LA Rams podcast. I'm your host, Kenneth Arthur. And with me this week is Mike Payton of the Detroit Lions blog, prideofdetroit.com, the Lions blog right here at SB Nation and Pride of Detroit. You know, if any of you listening out there are just huge Jared Goff fans or fans of Michael Brockers, there is such a wide amount of great content over at prideofdetroit.com, one of the best blogs at SB Nation. And trust me, I don't say that every time I talk to somebody at a blog, but because I really want to emphasize that POD, you guys are doing really great work. And thank you, Mike, for coming on and talking about Matthew Stafford and this insane trade that happened. I want to just like get right into it. First of all, I guess I will start on your end of things, because Brad Holmes was a front office guy for the Rams for such a long time, I think 17 years. And now he gets his opportunity to run his own team here with the Detroit Lions. And that has facilitated several trades between the Lions and Rams. And you would think maybe more to come in the future. The relationship between him and Les Snead seems to be so tight. What would you say so far with this first 8 months or 7 months of Brad Holmes? Because, you know, the Lions have, you know, there was a lot of optimism with Bob Quinn and the last regime. How have things felt this year as compared to previous hires?
It's actually been kind of a weird time for Detroit Lions fans. The optimism is high. It's super high, maybe higher than it was when Bob Quinn was here. But the understanding of how this is going to all go down and how the rebuild is going to happen is also at a high level. Like, nobody believes this team is going to go to the playoffs next year or win the Super Bowl, you know, anytime soon. But there's a wide belief that Brad Holmes and company is kind of what the doctor ordered. And just kind of looking back on everything that he did in Los Angeles in terms of scouting, and you guys saw it, you know, Jared Goff and Aaron Donald and so many other great players. The belief is that Brad Holmes may be the guy that's going to finally build this Lions team. And so far, everybody seems to love what he's doing.
I do. I really enjoyed not just the draft pick of Penei Sewell, but the excitement over the pick of Penei Sewell. And again, if anyone listening to this is just a fan of football, I recommend watching, I think it's called Inside the Lions Den or Inside the Den, a YouTube series that's about the Lions, you know, getting ready to start things over, but to do things better this time around. And I do think that the Penei Sewell pick is a good one for everybody involved in Detroit, but especially maybe, you know, Jared Goff, who is now with the Lions. What would you say has been going on with Goff this year? Like, I watch some of a Lions podcast with Joik Bell, and I really think that there's a good show there with Joik Bell. I just started watching it, so I don't really have that much knowledge, but it does feel like the reaction to Jared Goff with Lions fans is, okay, he's going to start for right now. But is there any optimism that Jared Goff is going to have like a good year that supplants himself as the franchise quarterback?
Yeah, I think it's been a really mixed reaction lately. Obviously, you know, Matthew Stafford was here for 12 years. He was a fan favorite. He's probably the best quarterback. I mean, not even probably. He's the best quarterback the Lions have ever had. So anybody who was going to take that guy's place is going to get somewhat of a negative reaction. But on my side of things, you know, and on the coaching side of things, Jared Goff has been a real favorite. I've done a lot of film studying of Jared in the last few months since he's been traded here. I really enjoy what I've seen. He makes a lot of throws that I didn't think he was able to make. There's some things there that need to be corrected, obviously. And I think that maybe him and McVay had a falling out. It seemed to be more of a personal relationship issue there. And I don't know. Right now I'm kind of liking Jared Goff. And I think that really, it doesn't matter what I feel or what the fans feel. It really matters what Brad Holmes and company feel, because I think they are planning to have Jared Goff around for a while. And that's why they picked up, an extra year on him and paid him all that money. So I think he's going to be here for at least the next 2 to 3 years, but I'm somewhat of a short leash.
Yeah. It's interesting because the Rams play the Lions in week 7. We can also just sort of talk about where the Lions are at right now as a team. And as you said, nobody really expects them to make the playoffs. There are strengths though, and especially talking about that offensive line, because Frank Ragnow might be the best center in the NFL. Penei Sewell was a very high draft pick who, of course, a lot of people think, you know, is like a franchise. I mean, and he only has to play right tackle because you guys have Taylor Decker on the left side. So everything seems solid there, but where a lot of people probably will feel curious as far as how Jared Goff will be successful is in that wide receiver group. So has anybody sort of stood out and looked like a player who Jared Goff will favor or who will be successful as that number one target?
Well, so far he's sort of taken rookie receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown under his wing a little bit. He's been trying to use him a little bit in obviously training camp hasn't started. So all we've seen is mini camp. And what we saw there was, you know, he was trying to almost sort of use him like he would use Cooper Kupp in LA. So I see that there's a relationship forming there. In terms of the other receiving core, this is a really a group that needs improvement. Like, there's Breshad Perryman, there's Tyrell Williams. There's a lot of guys here that are going to be looking to prove something in 2021 who thus far in their career haven't really proved it. So it's going to be interesting to see, but I would look to Amon-Ra St. Brown to be the guy that's going to kind of shine above the rest of them and maybe be Goff's, number one target in the future.
And Amon-Ra St. Brown, obviously somewhat of a connection here to Los Angeles because he did play at USC. And so, those two guys coming together in Detroit, similar to, Michael Brocker is also making his way over to Detroit. With regards going back to the trade itself, Jared Goff, 2 first-round picks, a 3rd-round pick for Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford, as you said, a treasured Lions player, one of the best picks in Lions history, and one of the few right things that the organization has done during this drought of not really winning a playoff game is bringing in Matthew Stafford. So it's difficult to watch him go away. How do you feel about the possibility that the compensation for Matthew Stafford might be, say, like 2 late first-round picks, as opposed to maybe, say, if you could have traded Matthew Stafford this year? I know there were rumors about Carolina Panthers and the number 8 pick, or maybe they could have done something with the Denver Broncos. Any considerations to the idea that, the Lions would maybe be getting 2 late first-round picks for Matthew Stafford? Any part of you wished that Brad Holmes had gotten more?
No, I really think that the Lions did what was best for them. Obviously you could have went with that 8th pick this past year, but what would they have done with that? I guess obviously an 8th pick is the sure thing. It's a really great move, but then you're kind of forcing yourself to pick a quarterback in the draft. And when you do that, you sort of make your rebuild all about one player at that point. You're all about the quarterback. You're building this entire franchise in terms around that guy. And I, in my opinion, that can hamper a rebuild. And I like more what the Rams did You know, they sort of built the team up. Then they got Jared Goff. Then they continued to build. I feel like that's probably the best way to go. And for the Lions to get Jared Goff, to get a starting quarterback plus two first round picks, I mean, you can't, that just can't, you can't beat that. You know, it was either that, or as you mentioned, the eighth pick, or potentially Drew Lock. And I think the Lions did the best thing that they could have done. And hopefully it will pay off. And I expect those to be late picks, but even so, you know, with a late first round pick, it's still a first round pick.
Yeah. And I think even though, you know, not everybody is on the same page necessarily with Jared Goff, like, you know, there's people who are higher on him, like yourself, and people who are less high on him, like myself. But, you know, with regards to putting a player in that position for the Detroit Lions, you would rather have somebody like Jared Goff, who isn't going to stunt the development of a TJ Hawkinson or a DeAndre Swift or a Penei Sewell or Frank Ragnow, all these players who don't want to play for David Blau, even if Blau is, you know, a fine backup quarterback or a Tim Boyle or a Drew Lock. Jared Goff is going to put those players in a position to get better, even if he himself is not the full-time franchise quarterback, even, and maybe he will become that. You know, he's still only 26, I think, and he's got plenty more that he could maybe do, and maybe Anthony Lynn, the new offensive coordinator, will unlock something. But I do also, like I said, I really like what Brad Holmes is doing, because that offensive line is coming together. Their TJ Hawkinson and DeAndre Swift are there. And then next year with the multiple first round picks, you know, whether or not the Lions go in the direction of a quarterback, we don't even know where they'll be picking in the draft. Maybe they'll surprise and it won't be the top three or five or whatever, but I could see exactly like, yeah, I think that they're going in a really good direction. Let's take it in the other direction and talk about Matthew Stafford, because a lot of Rams fans don't know what to expect. Really, a lot of them were connected or favored Jared Goff. A lot of them don't think that there is a huge difference between Stafford and Goff. And a lot of them are focused on something that I think far too many people are focused on, which is zero playoff wins during those 12 years. What would you say would best summarize Matthew Stafford as an acquisition for the Rams? Do you expect this to be a significant upgrade over Jared Goff?
Well, right off the bat, I mean, look, I say this all the time, and I'm going to say it again on here. Quarterback wins are not a real thing. That's yeah. Okay. It's a team sport. There's 53 guys out there. Quarterback he can't win a game by himself. He just can't do it. So with that in mind, I mean, the Lions have never successfully built a team around Matthew Stafford. Despite that, Matthew Stafford was still incredible for 12 years. I mean, he led this team to any win that they possibly could have gotten. He had a hand in some of their losses too. But yeah, I fully expect the Rams to be in Super Bowl contention with Matthew Stafford. No doubt about it. I mean, he is going to bring a toughness and a ability, especially late in games, that you guys are going to absolutely love and cherish. You're just going to love this guy so much. And some of the throws that he's able to make, and some of the arm techniques, you know, the sidearm, some of the things that he's able to do, they're just going to wow you. It's going to be really a treat for people who have not been able to watch Lions games or just didn't want to watch Lions games because they assumed that, you know, it would be a bad game, because Matthew is just, he's a highlight reel.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because it's really talking about, like you said, quarterback wins. I mean, Jared Goff was on the Rams last year. Matthew Stafford was on the Lions last year. Jared Goff won, technically he won 9 games because John Wolford won the 10th game. But technically, yeah, he won 9 games, and technically Matthew Stafford was a part of 5 wins. But the Rams defense ranked first in pass defense, first in net yard per pass attempt allowed. The Lions pass defense ranked last, and they ranked last in pass defense, last in net yards per attempt allowed, last in rushing touchdowns allowed, last in points allowed. Everything about the Lions defense appears to have been last or close to last. So everything, yeah, they were their opposite defenses. And so that's going to have a huge impact on those win totals. What was the best Lions team with Matthew Stafford, and what held them from making a playoff run?
Well, I think a lot of people will point to the 2014 Lions, Jim Caldwell's first year on the job, they went 11-5. They had the number two defense, you know, one of the best defenses, you know, that we've seen here in a while, probably best defense in Detroit history, at least in my history. I wasn't alive in the 50s. So, yeah, that was a great team. But the thing is, you know, previous, I call Jim Caldwell the quarterback whisperer, you know, because of what he did with Peyton Manning and what he did with Matthew Stafford and a little bit with Joe Flacco as well. But when before Caldwell came in, Matthew was, you know, the talent was there. It was raw talent. He was getting by on just that. He wasn't really getting taught well how to be an NFL quarterback by Sean Linehan and Jim Schwartz. Jim Caldwell really came in and slowed that down in 2014. He really made it all about making the right decisions, throwing the ball away, not trying to do too much. Even though Matthew still does do that at times, he learned a lot that year. And because of all that, it really did affect the team's offense. And it really did affect what Matthew Stafford was able to do. And they also had a lot of other issues. You know, Reggie Bush had a huge downward trend after a pretty good 2013. Calvin Johnson missed some games. There were, and you know, I hate to blame the refs, but there was an unbelievable picked up flag against Dallas in the playoffs that you know, some say led to the Lions losing that game. So yeah, there were some issues, but mostly it was just correcting Matthew that year, and I think that they may have overcorrected a little bit.
Yeah, it's been so interesting to sort of watch how any franchise is able to pull themselves out of a, like, just that pit of despair that happens to X amount of teams. And it's happened to the Rams. It's happened to the Rams this century. You know, maybe the worst teams of this century were the Rams, sort of in some of those years in the 2000s and the early 2010s. And, you know, with Sean McVay from 2016 to 2017, you know, the Rams turned around from one of the worst teams to one of the best. So, right. You know, with Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes and so many new things with the Lions, maybe they won't go to become the number one scoring offense next year, but it does seem like things are moving in a good direction. And one of those players who's helping around Detroit is Michael Brockers, a guy who was another team favorite with the Rams and did a lot for the community. And he preceded Aaron Donald even and played his entire career next to Aaron Donald. And the Rams have taken a piece of one of the former Lions defensive line. Even though this was a year ago, we haven't really gotten much of a look at A'shaun Robinson. He's a player who only played in about 100 plus snaps last year, suffered through some injuries. So I'm still kind of curious. I don't really know what kind of a player he is going to be. He hasn't really been on the field and been healthy. I know that he's slimmed down a little bit this year. What were your thoughts on A'shaun Robinson during his tenure with the Lions?
Well, I've got two tiers here. First, I'll start off. Are you guys credentialed? Do you cover the games in LA at SoFi or?
We haven't, nobody really did last year, but we are right. Working on that this year.
Okay. Well, A'shaun is going to be a really interesting character post game. You might want to stay away from him. He's a very emotional man and he's not going to want to talk to the press. He will yell at you. Other than that, you know, A'shaun, in terms of just being a player, you know, he didn't work out as well as the Lions had hoped. You know, he was a second round pick after being just a tremendous defender at Alabama. He just didn't quite work out, or the Lions just didn't work out, you know, with him well. He had some great moments. We like to call him a SWAT Robinson because he very often would swat down passes or he would block punts every now and again. So he's got some talent there. He's got some athleticism. But in terms of being with the Lions, it just didn't work out. So maybe pairing up with Aaron Donald over there is going to certainly help him a lot more in 2021 if he could stay healthy. But in Detroit, it was kind of disappointing.
Yeah. And how are things looking with Michael Brockers and the defensive line? How do the Lions plan to use Brockers? Because, you know, I know that Dan Campbell and the whole atmosphere around Dan Campbell being like a grit and what is it, ankle biters, whatever the terms are.
Kneecaps.
Yeah, exactly. That there's going to be a whole new attitude with these guys, and that it's going to start in the trenches, and then the Lions turned around. And even in what was called a weak defensive tackle class, they made sure to come away with two on day two to make sure that they didn't get shortchanged on their defensive tackle picks. And those two guys that they picked, Levi Onwuzurike and Aleem McNeil, are both, I think, have high ceilings. How exactly will Michael Brockers fit into that?
Well, right now it's looking like he's going to be sort of a leader, sort of a teacher in the clubhouse type of thing. I'm sure he will start immediately and probably the entire year, probably, you know, defensive end, defensive tackle, flexing around. So far, Michael seems to have a chip on his shoulder. I think he's maybe a little upset not getting traded. I mean, he was with the Rams his entire career, and here he is at, you know, a year before or the year that they might be making a Super Bowl run, you know. So I think maybe it's a little upsetting for him, but he seems to be taking it well. He's sort of jumped to the idea of being a leader, and I mean it's hard to tell without seeing in training camp what they might do with him, but right now, I mean, I think he's going to be sort of the centerpiece of the defensive line.
And I got to ask, just because, again, I'm just a fan of the NFL, the draft, and the Rams do play the Lions in week 7. So maybe it's a little early look ahead. I'm just curious, how is Jeffrey Okuda doing in his second year? Because he's one of the highest drafted cornerbacks of all time. And there wasn't a lot of positive buzz that I remember based on his rookie season. But how are things looking in year 2?
Well, he showed up in tremendous shape. And he seems to be taking really well to Aaron Glenn, the Lions' new defensive coordinator, who's a former DB himself and a former defensive backs coach as well. So far, you know, from what we could tell, obviously, again, just minicamp is all we've seen so far. But he seems to be, adapting a lot better than he was under Matt Patricia, who almost seemed to not really know what to do with him. And I think, you know, there was a lot of rumors going around last year that maybe there was some infighting between Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn about whether or not to take Jeff Okuda or to go a different route. So it's possible that maybe, you know, Matt Patricia and company didn't really want him there. And it seemed like halfway through the season, they kind of gave up on his progression. And I think it hurt Okuda a little bit, but I have no doubt that, you know, just getting to know the guy and his work ethic, I have no doubts that he's going to rebound from this and turn out to be a pretty decent corner.
Have there ever been any rumors that Matt Patricia doesn't know anything about defense?
Oh, geez, no. That Matt Patricia's the genius, the defensive genius? No way.
How does this happen? You know, like, how do you coach the Patriots for so long with – arguably the greatest football mind of all time? You know, obviously there are a lot of people who have come off of that Patriots branch and fallen hard. And now we're seeing that's not always the case. You know, we know the Brian Flores, and there's a couple of successful post Patriots, or at least semi-successful. Yeah. I mean, for the Lions, I mean, worst defense, and it wasn't like they weren't giving them some money, Trey Flowers, you know, it wasn't like they weren't, you know, trying with the defense. Like, are you, I don't know what even, if I even have a question. Again, it's just like crazy to me that Matt Patricia couldn't do something.
Well, you know, there are people in this world who are born on third base and think they hit a triple. And Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn are definitely those people. And I think that obviously they were with Bill Belichick for many years, and he is the best, the greatest football mind that we've ever had or ever seen. And I think that there's part of these guys that think that, well, the Patriots won because of them, and all the Lions ever needed was them. And they sort of came in and treated it like it was a high school football team that was, you know, like from a movie where all, you know, half the guys are in school trouble and they all need to be yelled at and punished. And it just turned the players off immediately. And that's what happened. You know, that's where things start going with trading Quandre Diggs to the Seattle Seahawks. He's been great over there, trading Darius Slay, you know, one of the best corners in the league. And, you know, you mentioned A'shaun Robinson. After Patricia was fired, A'shaun sent out a very public tweet about Matt Patricia saying that he was going to take his career away from him. And it was just a very toxic situation. And when you have guys like that who believe they are the smartest guys in the room, you just can't tell them anything. And the Lions paid for that. And unfortunately, now that he's gone, so is a lot of other people who would have been nice to stay around, like a Kenny Golladay or like a Matthew Stafford. So,
yeah. That reminds me of one other thing I was going to ask, which is, you know, Kenny Golladay, you know, missed most of last season. And, you know, that is not something that's necessarily calculated all the time when people talk about Matthew Stafford's most recent campaign with the Lions. What would you say was the quality of his surrounding personnel and, you know, his weapons? Do you think, like, with 26 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, you know, do you think, like, and all of those other numbers, do you think he did sort of elevate the players around him and sort of going above beyond, like, the actual weapons that he had in front of him? Even if, like, Marvin Jones is an underrated player, maybe, you know, he wasn't exactly, especially now with so many teams in the NFL employing two or three Pro Bowl caliber receivers, how would you sort of judge what Matthew Stafford is coming off of in a supporting cast now going to one with Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp and, you know, DeSean Jackson's a little bit older at this point, but certainly I think with Sean McVay and Andrew Whitworth, you know, he's got some very strong offensive personnel and minds around him. How would you sort of describe the Lions 2020 supporting cast?
Well, you know, it was rough. Obviously, Marvin Jones had a phenomenal year and really showed up a lot better than a lot more than I think a lot of people thought he would, especially at 30. And I'm honestly shocked that the Rams did not sign Marvin Jones. I really thought that was going to happen and that he was going to fit in perfect with what the Rams are doing over there. But besides that, you know, TJ Hockenson showed up and became a Pro Bowl tight end. And then everything went off a cliff from there. Danny Amendola, he did the best he could. He was 35 years old. He didn't score a single touchdown last year. Quintez Cephas, a rookie, you know, he showed some promise. Marvin Hall showed a little bit, you know, and that was, you know, Mohamed Sanu came on. It got that bad. Yeah, I mean, by the end of the season, they were thrown to guys that whose names you don't even recognize. And so Matthew Stafford is going to absolutely love having Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, you know, to throw to. And I'm jealous. Speaking from a fan and not a writer, I'm totally jealous to just to you know, you're going to have a lot of fun, I think, covering this team. So.
Well, I know a lot of Rams fans are jealous of Penei Sewell. So enjoy Penei Sewell and sure. Enjoy, you know, good luck to Jared Goff. And I think he's definitely got some really strong people around him. I'm a fan of Dan Campbell. I'm a fan of Frank Ragnow. Obviously, I think that the Lions have some strengths there. Mike, any parting words, anything you would like to say in terms of whether or not people wanted to talk to you about your comments on Matthew Stafford on Twitter or anything like that?
Yeah, look, I mean, here's the thing. You know, I some people say that old saying, you know, I wrote the book on this. Well, look, man, I wrote the book on Matthew Stafford. I've been covering the guy for 6 years. I spent a lot of my time writing articles about how Matthew Stafford is good and how people aren't seeing it. And it's a tiny bit annoying that he's suddenly really good now that he's just not wearing the Lions jersey. You know? So I saw that he got ranked sixth in a quarterback ranking the other day, and it was a little upsetting. Now, look, I think Matthew Stafford's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I've believed that for a while now. You know, but I just, he's not that good. You know, he's not this good, you know, like, Rams fans are going to have a great time.
Yeah.
I would temper your expectations just a tiny bit. just a tiny bit, just based off the fact that Matthew has been injured a lot lately. You know, his back has he fractured some bones in his back, and even though he doesn't always miss games, he had a broken thumb, he had multiple broken fingers, and you know, he's had some issues, and I hope that he doesn't have them for the Rams in 2021. I hope that you know, I would love to see you guys win a Super Bowl with this guy. I would love to see him achieve that. But just little things like that. And again, I'm mentioning something I mentioned earlier. There are times when Matthew tries to do too much, and you'll notice it when it's happening. But other than that, like I said, you guys are going to have a blast with this guy. And I'm looking forward to that game. And I'll be there in the stadium in LA for that one. And looking forward to seeing how that goes.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. I think that, that's very helpful. That's very good to hear, just in terms of, tempering expectations and knowing what you're really getting out of Matthew Stafford, because, you know, certainly I think we can start to overrate the positives and want to ignore some of the negatives, while at the same time, you can do the opposite. You can focus on the negatives and ignore some of the positives with a player. And I think with Matthew Stafford, we got to have to find that in between that says, like, this is the real Matthew Stafford. That being said, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting, because I think that the presence of Matthew Stafford will reveal a brand new Sean McVay, and I think the presence of Sean McVay might reveal a brand new Matthew Stafford. And whether or not that will be, you know, exceptionally better than what they were previously, I think mostly it comes down to, I think the Rams would rather have a quarterback who tries to do too much as opposed to one who doesn't do enough. And so it's going to be really interesting to see if that is a huge change, if Sean McVay does sort of unleash and reveals, allow his quarterback, because he trusts his quarterback, to be like, hey, this is your game in the fourth quarter. We're down a touchdown. This is your game. I know you can do this, because we've seen Matthew Stafford do it over and over again, or at least Lions fans have seen him do it when it's happened. And then, as you had said, the national media forgot that he existed. And so it's hard. It's easy to forget, but we shouldn't. Matthew Stafford is one of the best number one picks of all time. And that just says a lot about number one picks, but it also says a lot about Matthew Stafford. So thank you for coming on and talking about Stafford and wishing Stafford and the Rams luck. I wish the Lions luck as well. Doesn't hurt me to see the Lions do well, even if that means that they develop a few of the players that they wanted to develop, have optimism around Okuda and Sewell, and win three games, and then go out and draft, you know, Desmond Ridder or Spencer Rattler or someone else that has a very good quarterbacky name. So that's it. Thank you, Mike Payton. Go check out prideofdetroit.com for updates on Goff and the Lions and everything else. There's a ton of great content over there. Thank you for listening to Pod TST. That's it for this episode. Come back next week and I will do a different one.